When I surrendered my life to Jesus, at that time, God gave me so many promises, one of which was this: Chris, I'm going to use you to impact others so that they can turn their lives around and begin following Jesus as well. It was a promise he gave me at 21 when I finally surrendered. And that promise actually is for every single person in this room this morning who also follows Jesus, who also has surrendered to Jesus. And at the time in which you surrendered, you received the same promise as well, that God's going to use you to impact others to turn to him. It's a promise. Now, the thing is, what we know and what we've been learning throughout this series about these promises, that if we don't fight for those promises, then we often don't experience the fullness of those promises. And this one is for sure one of those. And so let me ask you, are you fighting? Are you battling for God to use you in the lives of others to help them find and follow God? Well, we're in this series called Taking Territory. It's a series in the book of Joshua. The premise of the series is that God has given us promises in his word, but because we have internal and external resistors to experiencing the fullness of those promises, we don't often experience them like God designed and desires us to. And so we have to battle, we have to fight to receive the promises that God has given us. And so we've been talking about that. Today is message number 7. God made countless promises to his people in the Old Testament. And one of those promises is that he would give them a specific piece of land with specific boundaries around the land that would later be known as the Promised Land. And here's a little map on the screen. We've looked at this map in this series, and you can see there, I mean, there's 12 tribes, 11 of them are given specific territory that they're gonna occupy. And the whole nation was to work together to help each tribe inhabit and receive the promise of their plot of land. Humanly speaking, it was impossible to take this land. We've talked about why that was the case throughout this series. They had to go on this faith journey of taking territory. And during this series, we've looked at promises from different areas of our life, promises from our personal life. For example, he loves me unconditionally. These are promises for everyone in Christ. He loves me unconditionally. He works all things for my good. He meets all my needs. He'll grant me wisdom. I will have peace. I'll overcome any temptation. He'll give me the desires of my heart. It's a promise that promises you have as a follower of Christ. We've looked at promises in our family life. Our family will have unity. Our family will be protected. Our children will walk with God. Our families will prosper. Our family will receive provision. Our family will impact other families. These are promises that your family has been given in Christ. Then we've talked about promises for the church. God will build his church. We'll feel like family together. We'll be complete and unified. God will change the world through us. We'll help one another grow. We'll love each other deeply. All of these promises that we've been given, yet many of them we don't experience fully. And so we have to battle, we have to fight against the resistors. We've talked a lot about the personal promises and the family promises. Today we talk about some of these promises that we've been given as a church family. Well, if you have a Bible, if you have access to a Bible, turn with me to Joshua chapter 23. We're looking at Joshua chapter 23 this morning. And so let's turn to Joshua 23. We'll read the entire chapter. And let's look at this chapter together. Joshua 23, after a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am very old. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered, between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He'll drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong, be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations to this day. No one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as all the good things the Lord your God has promised you have come to you, so he will bring on you all the evil things he has threatened until the Lord your God has destroyed you from this good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and you go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you and you'll quickly perish from the good land he has given you. So let's make sure that we understand what's going on contextually within this passage, and then we can look at how this passage applies to our lives today. And so the Israelites were God's covenant people, which means he had a relationship with them, that the nation of Israel that was his chosen people. And as a covenant people, they were to be devoted to him and to follow him. And secondly, they were to be a light to the Gentiles. In other words, they were to help other peoples and other nations turn their hearts to God, the creator of all things, as well. But one of the challenges is that as God directed them to take this promised land, to fight and battle for the territory that God had promised them, is that the people and the nations who were living there served and worshiped other gods. And these other gods meant you could be, for example, sexually immoral, or you needed to sacrifice your children at times on the altar in worship. You could please the moon gods and the sun gods and the fertility gods and the weather gods. And by worshiping them in certain ways, you could please these gods. And then they would, in return, do things for you. And so these people had all these religious practices that were in direct opposition to who God's people were to be. And so it was very important that as they went into the land that was promised to them, that they were to be the ones who would set the new culture and the new values instead of being assimilated into the culture of the land and the values and the practices of the people there. They were to be the ones to be the influencers, not the ones coming in and being influenced. And chapter 23 of Joshua is giving warnings and reminders that when you go into the land, you are not to follow those customs and values and gods that they serve. You must stay devoted to me, and if anyone's open to following me, then you lead them to follow me. So how did they do? I mean, do you know the rest of the story? Are you familiar with the book of Judges? Because the book of Judges, the next book, tells us how they did. And here's how they did. There were times in which they stayed devoted to God, and they were the ones who were influencing the culture and values of the land. And then there were other times, actually larger periods of time, when they actually accommodated and got assimilated into the culture and the values of the people. And so God would raise up a leader or a judge to lead them out of those values and to come back to worshiping the true and living God. And they would do that for a time, and then over time they found themselves going back. And the book of Judges said, basically, here's what happened. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Actually talking about the people of Israel, God's people. In other words, instead of impacting others around them and the culture around them, they were the ones being impacted. And so Joshua 23 is warning them and reminding them, stay true. Be the ones who impact others. And this lesson from Joshua 23 couldn't be more relevant to us today, could it? I mean, just think about it. As we think about the promises that God has made to us collectively as a church, none of them are about taking physical territory, like, okay, here's the boundaries, go in, take the land, inhabit the land. Those aren't the promises given to us today in the church. However, God has placed us as a congregation in New Haven and in Greater Fort Wayne, which is a geographic location by which he's calling us to take spiritual territory. Promises about actually the gospel making an impact in the city. And we find this, for example, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says this, but you'll receive power. And this, by the way, is the very last thing Jesus said. The last thing he didn't say was go make disciples. That was one of the last things, but this was actually the last thing he said before taking up to heaven. But here's what's going to happen. You're going to receive power. Let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to have an impact in everyone around you. First, it's going to start in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then it's going to go all the way to the ends of the earth. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be this expansion of influence by my people, and you're going to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's a geographic map of those early disciples. Starting here in Jerusalem, just as Acts chapter 1 said, and this is where it started, it goes to Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria, which are outer parts of the region, and then it just continued to expand. And this is exactly what happened in the early church. The people of God were on fire for God. They were being impacted in their own lives, and they were impacting others. In fact, by 313 AD, the Edict of Milan, Constantine said, look, there's enough Christians around, let's just make it official. Because half of the Roman Empire, within 300 years, were coming under the gospel. It was spreading. Here's another visual that goes beyond just geographic, but actually within cultural aspects. You have your Jerusalem, your hometown, Judea, your own culture, Samaria, which is those around you, but living in a different culture, and the ends of the earth. So this expansion was not only geographic, but it was also cultural. You're gonna reach people just like you in your same culture, but also it's gonna impact other cultures, and you're gonna come together as other cultures under the banner of the gospel. So God has not called our church today to take the promised land located in the Middle East, but he does have spiritual territory for our church to take in the physical location. If we look at this map here, it's a map of Allen County. You can see New Haven right there in the red, and you see Fort Wayne in the green and the outer cities and towns around it. You see these little location markers. There's one that's it's red. You can't really see it. On 469 and 30, that's where we're at right now, on the east side. You see the one on the north side, just north of 469 off there on the west side of 69. That's where the north site is located. And then you see the one in the middle of Fort Wayne, which is where we are projected to begin our third site next year. And that's building momentum even currently. But as you think about the city, let me tell you, just as you look at the map, let me tell you some things about the people in our city. We have many people in our city who are chasing after the God of money, the God of comfort, the God of power. People are divided politically. People are racist. People are judgmental of the poor. Half of the marriages end in divorce. People are pursuing all kinds of sexual experiences outside of marriage. People are deciding on their own what's morally right and wrong. And I could go on and on. And I'm not even talking about the pagans. I'm talking about the church. That's just the church. Look, we better have three fingers pointed to ourselves before we ever have a finger pointed to our culture. We better get our own stuff in order before we have any judgmental spirit about how anyone else is living outside of the church. God wants to give us a vision for the city. It starts with ourselves and then expands out. What God said to the Israelites is that as you're fighting for the promises and as you're taking the territory that I told you to take, you're going to be interacting with all kinds of people that are worshiping all kinds of different gods, that have all types of different values. But I do not want you to become assimilated into the values of that culture, so that you're taking on those same values so that you look no different than everybody else. It's a warning. Now, what some people do or some churches do in response to this, in protection against this, is they try to separate themselves from the culture. It's just the other side of the pit. You want to avoid both pitfalls. Number one, being assimilated or accommodating to the culture, or separating from the culture. Avoid both of those, and you walk in and you engage with the culture, but you make the influence, not the ones being influenced by their values. And so in some respects, the church today in general hasn't heeded this warning, because in large respects, the church doesn't look a whole lot different than the value system of the rest of the world. Which means we need to take note, and we need to walk in a state of repentance, in a state of humility. And if we ever have a judgmental spirit about the way our culture is going, we have issues that we need to check in our own hearts. One of the most influential theologians in church history is a 5th century leader named Augustine. And he wrote one of the most influential pieces of literature in church history called The City of God. In the book, it's a contrast between the city of God and the city of man or the city of the earth. The earthly city is rooted, as he describes the distinction, the earthly city is rooted in selfish ambition, pursuit of power, sex, and money, and whatever it takes to get ahead, and whatever the world has to offer. That's the pursuit. Whatever this world has to offer, that's what I want. And he contrasts that, which is the city of man and the city of the earth, with the city of God. The heavenly city, rooted in gospel transformation, forgiveness, freedom, love, the pursuit of everything that heaven has to offer. It's a masterful work. I was at a conference in Chicago a week ago with about a dozen Fort Wayne pastors and business leaders. And the focus was on how to reach a city with the gospel. Here's a picture. It was in downtown Chicago at the historic Moody Church. And it was with Tim Keller, who leads a church in New York City, talking about what does it take to see a city transformed by the gospel. The contrast between the earthly city and the heavenly city. What does it take for us to reach our city? Part of it is that we need to be living and following after God, which is a different value system than the rest of those that we live around. We actually should be looking differently in how we live than everyone else that we interact with. There should be a difference between the follower of Jesus and the values of our culture. And we need to love people enough to engage them with a non-judgmental spirit, with mercy and love, and allow them to have the opportunity to experience God's love and turn to Jesus for forgiveness and freedom as well. And we need to be willing to share that with them. And as we are all called to be missionaries in our own setting, here's how you develop that common bond. You start with brokenness because everybody knows it. And you share your own brokenness. I was the first to admit, here's my areas of brokenness. And it's the great equalizer. It's no longer, okay, me versus you and us versus, it's we're all the same. Now, here's what the difference is. We need to understand, this is what I shared, we need to understand that this isn't the way God intended it from the beginning. God actually intended it from the beginning to be full of beauty. This is the way it was at the beginning. There were no problems. There was no pain. There was no punishments. The way it was from the beginning is that God intended everything to be beautiful, and that's the way it was. And they're like, I've never heard this before. I had no idea. Part of my resistance is I thought, well, if this is the world God created, this is a crappy old world. I'm not going to follow him. This is what best he could do. But once they began understanding the way it was intended from the beginning, and then we understand the reason why there's brokenness is because we've all gone astray. It's called sin. But the good news is that we can be spiritually born through turning to Jesus in faith and receive forgiveness and freedom and a future that we've never had before. And when we have spiritual birth, we're on our way to the restoration of what God intended from the beginning. That's the gospel. I just shared the gospel in 30 seconds. You can do it too. Just so you have to know three words. Everybody in the room here can share the gospel. You just need to know, okay, here's the common bond, brokenness. Okay, here's the way it was intended. Let me just make sure you understand that. Here's birth. It's that simple. Everybody can share it. You don't have to be a theologian, because this is your story if you're in Christ. And if you're not in Christ yet, this is, Lord willing, your future story, and maybe your story today. We've been tracking the last 18 months, First Love, how many people have shared the gospel. It's been amazing. We're now coming to the end of that tracking system. It's been incredible. And over the last 18 months, from people in our congregation, many, many people who've shared the gospel, 416 people have heard the gospel that we've known about. And of those 416 people who've heard the gospel over the last 18 months, 58 have come to faith. And so we would just rejoice. And I just want to say, look, no one in the room's perfect, but I believe that us and many other churches in our city are actually pursuing God and sharing the gospel with others, and we aren't just assimilating into the culture. And I'm just really thankful that we have so many people who are pursuing God and pursuing others in this way. Let me just show you the city again. I mean, this is your city, New Haven, Greater Fort Wayne. It's your city. It's the territory that we have been given. What is our vision at Grace Gathering? What are we trying to do? Just close your eyes for a moment and just picture, what is God calling Grace to do? Can we change anyone in our city? What's the answer? Can we change anyone? No. So what can we do? Can we show people what genuine love looks like? Can we show people what caring for the poor looks like? Can we show people what racial unity looks like? Can we show people what sexual purity looks like? Can we show people what following God looks like? Not perfectly, not perfect examples, but living examples. Can we do that? What's the answer to that? Yes, we can. People can see the gospel through our lives because it's different than the way the culture lives. And while we're doing this, while we're living this way and trying to follow after God, we can love people enough to engage them with the gospel in a very simple way, beauty, brokenness, birth, or whatever ways you know, to help people be spiritually born. And my last question is this: can we reach a whole city? Can Grace Gather and reach a whole city? Answer is no. But if we're in partnership with other churches, the answer is yes. And so here's our vision, trying to make it crystal clear. Grace, our vision is in partnership with other churches, because look, we're not going to reach a city by ourselves. We're not trying to build our own little Grace Gathering empire. It has nothing to do with Grace Gathering. It has to do with the church in Fort Wayne and God, what God has planned for Fort Wayne. It means that there are many churches that have to come together and take the territory of our city that God has given us. So in partnership with other churches, we want to help every resident in our city to have multiple opportunities to hear and see the gospel. We can do that. We can do that. What do we mean by hearing and seeing the gospel? Hearing is understanding the gospel, knowing how to believe and follow. That's just the, you know, beauty, brokenness, birth, or whatever other way. Secondly, people can see the gospel by witnessing the power of physical, spiritual, emotional, economical, and relational healing. This is our vision. This is what God has called us to as a church. And I'm going to ask, are you up for the vision? Do you embrace this is the city that God has placed us in? This is the territory they're in. We're going to be in partnership with other churches, and we are going to reach the city to see a city following after God. Is this the vision that you embrace? Well, let's just pray. And I'll be honest with you, this, just to be real vulnerable, it hasn't been my vision. I've had a vision for our church and had a vision for just reaching the people around me. I've never had a collective vision for the city of New Haven, the city of Greater Fort Wayne. But God's been dealing with me in some areas, and I'm on a journey. I'm not there yet. Some of you in the room have a greater vision for the city than I do. Others in the room, you've never even thought about it before. But if you're open to being a part of this vision, just open up your hands and let's just pray together. Just open up your palms as an expression that you're open, whether this is your vision or not as it relates to our church. And let me just pray. And so, Lord, we want to be stewards of the place where you have us geographically. We want to have an impact as we partner with other churches to see a city impacted by the gospel. It means that we all have to take steps of faith and boldness, and we want to do that. And that means collectively we have to do it as a church, and that also means that we have to partner with other churches to do the same. And so I pray you'd lead us in these ways. In Jesus' name, amen.